This is a Studio B production.
Come one, come all to a beautiful show. It's gonna be awesome and some other stuff. Some other musical stuff.
This is episode 7 of Talk Music to Me. I am Alan. Sitting across from me is Jess.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
You had a good week?
Some other musical stuff.
Charlie's the best.
So much.
Charlie's the best. He's my favorite.
Yes.
So we got actually a really jam-packed show.
We really do.
We have a lot to talk about here, which is fun because that's not always the case. But we have an interview coming up with your good friend and was a fellow promoter with you.
Yes, Miss Rihanna Riggs.
Rihanna Riggs. And you guys tell a ton of stories about a lot of different bands.
I know, we had way too much fun.
And it's great. It's
only scratching the surface.
Only scratching the surface. We're going to definitely try and make that into a regular segment.
Yes,
where
for
she
sure.
comes on and you guys tell stories.
She had no idea what she was getting into.
I want to hear some dirt. That's what I want to hear.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there.
We have an interview coming up with her. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about what we've been listening to. That's how we start off every show. Mm-hmm. That always sparks a ton of discussion. Then we're going to read Stone Gossard, obviously guitarist for Pearl Jam. We're going to read his letter to Chris Cornell.
On his birthday.
It's pretty sad, but I think it's important to
remember. It's worth reading.
Especially because recently, the Linkin Park guy, I don't even know his name.
I'm going to find it right now.
That is so disrespectful to even talk about it without mentioning his name. But he recently, today actually, as we record this, same thing with as Chris Cornell, and it's really,
Chester
really sad.
Chester Bennington,
and that's very, very sad. So I think it's poignant and apt that we play that.
Absolutely.
And then we'll finish it off on a high note, though, and we'll talk about some of the concerts that everyone's been going to.
Yeah.
Some of, you put it out there asking people what their favorite concerts are that they've been to, and we got a lot of good stories there.
We do. I'm excited. We've got a lot to cover.
Let's start off, though. I want to read. We got an iTunes review.
We did.
We got an iTunes review.
We did.
And it is epic. You want to know why?
Why?
Because the title is Better Than Danzig.
Yes!
And if we're better than Danzig,
Danzig!
We're pretty goddamn good. That makes me so happy. This is from Jay Likes Podcast. And
thank you, Jay Likes Podcast.
Obviously, title Better Than Danzig. Easily the best way to talk or listen about music when you're by yourself and have no one to talk and no one else to talk music with, but still want to talk music.
Yay! Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jayla Podcast.
Thank you.
Our very first, that's our inaugural iTunes review.
This is such a big moment.
It is a big moment. It is. They won't always be that kind, I promise you.
I know, but we're glad that Better Than
Danzig! I hope I didn't blow everyone's eardrums out of there.
That almost scared me a little bit.
I forgot to pull the mic away before I did it. I'm just so excited for Danzig. I can't help it. Just a reminder, we are a member of the Podcast Collective. It's a great podcast network. You can find tons of amazing podcasts over at podcastcollective.com. Thanks to Justin for having us on. All right, let's get into what we've been listening to. Do you want to start?
Absolutely. You know, I only have a few because we've been watching this show on HBO called The Defiant Ones.
So good.
In fact,
next week when we actually finish it, we can talk about that. That can be a whole thing.
Totally love to talk about that. It's so, so good. So if you guys haven't watched it yet, maybe you should watch it and then catch up.
It's essentially a documentary series. It's like a four-part series about Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine, founder of Interscope Records.
Oh, it's so great.
And he also produced Foghat and Stevie Nicks' band. What was that?
Shit.
Good God, my
what
parents
did my
love that.
What?
Fleetwood Mac, that's right.
I was like, God damn it.
As well, I mean, he's produced Born to Run with Bruce Springsteen's record,
yeah.
His breakout record.
There's so many. Gwen Stefani?
No doubt. And obviously Dr. Dre.
Eminem.
And all those guys there, Eminem. Mm-hmm. So that's... It's Nine Inch Nails. Mm-hmm. It's really, really, really good.
It's so good. And the best part about it is that, you know, Alan can nerd out over the filmmaking aspect of it because it's so good with the transitions and the
editing. I'll tell you what, just from a filmmaking perspective, it's goddamn amazing.
Oh, it's so good.
That's the kind of shit because it's new, but it's not too esoteric. Like it serves the way they film everything and the way they cut everything. is it serves the storyline, which
absolutely
you don't see that. That's very hard to do. It doesn't sound like it's hard to do, but it's very hard to do.
It's so good. It's so good. We watched way too many of them, stayed up way too late because it was just so good.
Couldn't stop.
There was a point when I was like, oh my God, I have to go to work tomorrow. But something that
we'll talk about the whole thing
next
week.
We'll continue it. But something that it sparked in me was they were talking about Nine Inch Nails. And, you know, Nine Inch Nails got me through high school and a good part of my undergrad degree. And it was just the best studying music, which I don't know what that says about me because it's kind of angry and a little bit messed up. But
it's just dark stuff, man. I love dark. I love dark stuff.
But it's so well put together. And the amount of sounds that he combines is just insanity. Yeah. And so listening to it made me kind of go back into their catalog a little bit. And of course, I love Closer. Judge me as you
so
will.
Good. It's good.
Just such a good song. And then Piggy. Hey, Pig.
Hey, Pig.
Hey, you. So I went back, and that's on the Downward Spiral, which is all, like, such a great CD.
Plus the original version of Hurt that Johnny Cash covered.
Of Hurt, yeah. And I know that Rihanna, since we interview Rihanna later in the show, I think that was one of the albums that she kept telling me I really needed to listen to when we first started hanging out. And I revisited The Fragile, which still by far is one of my favorite records.
Nine Inch Nails is a band I never really got into. I would hear the songs played on MTV or whatever, and it was always good, but I never really got into it. I just never seeked them out on my own. It wasn't really my style. Mm-hmm. But you were sending me these songs, and they're really goddamn good.
They're really,
because
really good.
Because I like the dark.
It
the
is.
The darkness. There's something about me. I just love dark.
I'm going to send you The Fragile. That whole album, you'll love the whole album. Like, there's that song I was playing just a few minutes ago called The Wretched. Oh, it just, like, it gets me. And then, like, Into the Void. Oh, so good. So when I saw Nine Inch Nails at Mountain View, California, Soundgarden actually opened for them. And when they were playing the songs, I was just like, I'm watching Nine Inch Nails right now. And it's so weird because we're all older and they're not as intense as they used to be.
Is Nine Inch Nails, is it really just a solo project for Trent Reznor? But that's just the name of it?
You know, honestly,
or is it an actual band with steady members?
My totally outside opinion, because I'm not the biggest Nine Inch Nails fan. I love Nine Inch Nails, but I don't listen to them on a regular basis. I don't know the whole background. But if you were going to ask me honestly, off of what I've heard, seen, experienced, hell yeah, Trent Reznor's always in charge. Even from that Defiance Ones thing, he's in charge. Just leave him alone. Go let him do his thing.
Right.
You know, he might bring in people here and there, but he's in charge. He's always been that way.
Yeah, it's. I'm looking it up now. It looks like it's him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just got people obviously playing the band, but they're not.
But it's him.
It's him.
Which kind of, that's what I've always sort of just really valued about Trent Reznor, is that all of that music is coming from him.
Yeah.
And that's pretty impressive. And like I said, the combination of the sounds that he does is just insanity. Like, and it sounds so good.
As an added bonus, if you go to talkmusictomeslc.com, I'm going to put a video of one of my, it's one of the most underappreciated shows ever.
And becoming one of my favorites.
It was a sketch comedy show called The Whitest Kids You Know. And they do a whole thing about Trent Reznor that is just epic. It is hilarious. It made me laugh my ass off.
This line's still stuck in my head. Your house looks like shit, Trent.
It's so good. So that's just as an added bonus. Go to the website, talkmusictomeslc.com. In the show notes for episode 7, we will have a video that will... it's so good because it makes fun of Sublime, too.
It's
and,
so good.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It's so good.
So you had Nine Inch Nails. Anyone else?
You know, honestly, it's just been Nine Inch Nails. Yeah. I've just been visiting the catalog. Listen to those albums. I'm definitely worth revisiting some of the old music.
Nice. Well, I've got three groups, basically. So last week we played a local band called Grits Green.
Mm-hmm.
And they reminded me of a band I saw on accident 3 times.
that still makes me laugh.
I just happen to go to these bars when they come into town for some reason. it was a group called High Respects. They were a hip-hop rap group who played over live instruments. One of the dudes could beatbox better than any I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
You literally thought he was an instrument.
That's awesome.
And he was epic. Apparently, they're still making music. But off of their first record called Small Steps, this is my favorite record of theirs. I haven't heard their new stuff, but and this is the first song. It's called And. And I'm just going to play it under it, well, if I can press a button. It's so much fun. It's so good. Like, It starts out with a drum. Love it. And then just wait for it. Here it comes. Oh, maybe not.
Sorry, I gotta stop doing that.
No, you don't. You're good. Wait for it.
Wait for it. Oh, they're so good.
It's so much fun.
That's so much fun.
It's so much fun. Somewhere in my box of old CDs, I have two signed CDs from them.
Aw, you gotta find those.
It's all gone. But I reordered their whole catalog yesterday.
Oh, you did?
I did, their whole catalog. Because they're so good.
Oh my god, can we have a listening party?
Yeah.
Yes. So
that's high respect. Again, all the groups we talked about will be over on the website, talkmusictomeslc.com. Show notes for episode 7. That's High Respects from the record Small Steps. That song's called And. It's phenomenal.
Yes.
And then we have a show coming up tomorrow that I have been waiting for, I keep saying 20 years. It's probably not been 20 years. It's probably been about 18 years. I've been waiting to see.
Still, I think that's closer to 20 than to 10.
It is. But who's counting? I've been waiting to see the goddamn Descendants pretty much my whole entire adult life.
Oh, you've been saying this since I met you.
They announced this show back in, I want to say, October.
Uh-huh.
And the show's July 21st. That date has been burned in my brain. I'm horrible. I have a shitty memory. I never remember anything.
But that date.
That date, though. I bought the tickets immediately.
You did.
And
yeah.
I will be there come hell or high water. I have to see the Descendants.
You guys, if you're going to the show, he'll be there with bells.
So I've been getting
come
ready
say hi.
To see this fucking band that I've been waiting forever to see. And I've been listening to a lot of their catalog. And, of course, their first record is called Milo Goes to College. It's the best. And this is I'm Not a Loser. It's off of Milo Goes to College. And it's just so incredible.
It's so good.
Say good, I'm a loser.
They're just, I mean, come on, man.
Come on.
This is my youth. I remember cruising around in my car with my best friend Austin listening to this shit. Just doing God knows what. Who knows what we were up to in those days?
We probably don't want to know.
Yeah, you probably don't want to know. But anyway, this is my youth. This whole record is my youth.
That's so awesome.
So I'm very excited to see these guys.
I'm very excited to see them too. Plus, this is you. As far as I'm concerned, this is you.
I'm not a loser. That's perfect timing. Perfect timing. Okay, finally. We are actually working on getting a member or two or three of this next band on the show. They're from New York. This is a group I stumbled upon, I want to say in 2010.
Uh-huh.
I was at the Warped Tour, and I was pissed off being my stupid jackass elitist punk bullshit attitude because there were no punk bands on this goddamn Warped Tour.
There's a lot of words in that sentence.
Well, there were no punk bands on the Warped Tour. And when I was growing up, that was all it was. It was a punk tour, you know?
Yeah.
And so now I was really pissed off.
What year was that?
I don't know. I think it was either 2010 or 2012.
Huh.
And then I hear Hopeless Romantic, the Bouncing Souls Hopeless Romantic playing. And I'm like, what? The Bouncing Souls? They're not supposed to be playing. And I run.
I can picture it.
I run. And it's not the Bouncing Souls. It is this band called the Jukebox Romantics. And dare I say, their cover, their live cover, may have been better than the original.
What?
I know.
Oh, Alan, you're dancing.
It may have been better than the original, I gotta say.
Oh.
And so I immediately fell in love with this band. They're from New York. In fact, their last record, they're coming up with a new one this fall, but the one before that was actually produced by Pete Steinkampf.
No.
Steinkampf, I think is how you say it. Anyway, the guitarist for the Bouncing Souls.
Nice!
So, I emailed them and I was like, dude, can we please play the new single? Because it's just, you know what? Most people are going to hate it. Well, not most people who listen to the show will probably appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's definitely not it's hardcore, man. It's just a hardcore punk song and it's wonderful.
Well, that's how, you know, hardcore punk.
And I cannot wait for the new record. And so we're working on getting Terry from the Jukebox Romantics on the show.
Terry, thank you so much.
So I can geek out. And by the way, he told me about his podcast, which is really good.
What's the name of his podcast?
The Rude Dude Cast.
The Rude Dude Cast.
They talk wrestling and movies and comics and all that stuff. I'm not a big wrestling fan, but everything else I love.
Sweet.
So anyway, this is Jukebox Romantics. The single is called Breaking Rad. And then we're going to go right into the interview with Rihanna Riggs. I'm drinking beer for the taste. I'm drinking whiskey for the effect. It's 6 a.m. and I haven't gone to bed yet. So my friends think I should quit. I'm tired of hearing all that shit. Pour another round. Come out around 10. Let's drink these demons out of my head. I stole the old man's whiskey and rye. Two bars out for all the monsters inside. I'm drinking beer for the taste. I'm drinking whiskey for the effect. It's 7 a.m. and I haven't gone to bed yet. There's some things I can't admit. Maybe I don't give a shit. Pour another round. Maybe someday it'll catch up to me. Maybe someday I'll start to care. Sit down and have a drink.
It's Jesse from Talk Music to Me, and today we have my amazing friend Rihanna Riggs on the show. We're going to talk a little bit about our time working for Sony BMG because we were partners in crime. And I'm going to ask her a few questions. We're hoping that Rihanna is going to be a repeat guest because I love her so. And we have a million stories that we need to remember and get recorded somewhere since we never took pictures or recorded anything. So this is kind of our way to get back to it. So, Miss Rihanna, how are you, my dear?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me on the show.
Of course. I've been dying to do this. You were one of the first people I thought of as soon as we started this.
Yeah, no, it's very true. Mm-hmm. As soon as we did this, she was like, we got to get Rihanna on. We got to Rihanna on.
Just because you're such a music buff, just like us. And I know that you've stuck with it. And I know you and Dirk go to a lot of concerts. And you have your favorites. So, first and foremost, I wanted to ask you, tell us a little bit about what you've been listening to, like what your favorite music is, some of your favorite bands, and if there's any concerts coming up that you're super psyched for.
Wow, that's a loaded question. Well, right now, I'm super excited to go see Ghost and Iron Maiden tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, you and your brother always go to those concerts, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Is that Iron a brother
Maiden,
or sister?
One of my favorites.
Iron Maiden is tomorrow?
Uh-huh.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
So frustrating.
So,
where are they playing at?
USANA.
At USANA.
Okay. Rihanna, I have to interrupt you. What do you think about USANA's parking? Because we went to Thrice and Deftones, and man, what a pain in the ass.
Oh, it's a joke. But we, they have a carpool lane, I guess.
Oh.
And if you ride with four people, you get in like some special lot. And it's pretty great, actually.
So you're you're telling us that we should all go to concerts together.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
It's always better with your friends.
It is. Okay, so that's tomorrow night. And I have to know. So you and your brother always go. Is this a band that you guys have like grown up with or that you just decided you both loved? Or how did that start?
Well, I kind of grew up with metal in my life, thanks to my dad.
Uh-huh.
He's kind of an old 70s metalhead. And my brother actually introduced me to Ghost, who's opening up for Iron Maiden, and we've seen them a handful of times. And so tomorrow night, it's my brother, it's my dad, it's my uncle.
Oh, no way! That's
it's my cousin. It's kind of a family affair, so I'm super excited to go see them and just spend time with my family and make memories at Iron Maiden.
Did you guys go see Alice Cooper when he was here?
No, and I'm regretting it. I'm kicking myself for it already.
I didn't even know about it until the next day. I was so frustrated.
I didn't know he had come here. I could have had a Wayne's World moment. Show. I'm not worthy.
I know.
That is, I'm not going to lie, that movie is why I love Alice Cooper.
Yeah, me too.
The absolute 100% only reason I love Alice Cooper.
Oh my God, he was so amazing. That. And then I have to say, you know, I have a soft spot for your brother because he used to come and help us promote all the time when we were...
He did.
He was there a lot. I know. He was there a lot.
He was a huge, huge resource for us.
Oh, he was amazing. So we'll have to remember that later. But keep telling me what concerts are you looking forward to?
Oh my gosh. So
Foo Fighters,
there's so many coming. Foo Fighters is in December. We've got Depeche Mode. A Sony band, Mew. They're coming to the Stateroom. Mm-hmm. Super excited for that. And the Toadies, one of my 90s throwback bands, favorites. They're coming in October.
Yay!
Drive-By Truckers, like the list goes on and on.
I know we were talking about this. I ran into Rihanna and her awesome husband, Dirk, at the park, and we were just talking about how many amazing bands are coming this summer and that we're going to be just totally bankrupt by the time we get through the next couple of months. Just because they're big tickets now. They're big tickets. It's not like back in the day when it was like $25. It's like, and you guys,
and we used to go for free. So.
I
was going to say, I'm sure you guys got in for free too.
Okay, so I want to kind of like get into stuff. So on the drive over here, I was thinking about it because, so Rihanna and I were both Sony BMG. We were partners in that Rihanna was the college rep for Sony and I was the marketing rep.
So what does that mean?
So yeah, on my side of it, I guess I was just the non, I don't know, how would you say it, Rihanna, the non-college
related?
You were
more like the street team lifestyle rep, whereas yeah. I actually had to be in college to be the college rep.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
So you had the in with the college students.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Exactly. Even though I was older, they called me grandma. I was in college.
Wait, was that up at the University of Utah?
Yeah. So
what years are we talking about here?
Oh my gosh.
What years did we?
It's been, well, I went to college when I graduated when I was 30. So I was in college. I was up at the U probably about 27, 28. And the college reps, the usual, you know, median age is probably 21.
I think I was so, about 20. I was like 21.
I was the grandma of the group. But...
Which is so funny that you say that because you never looked like older than anyone. Like you, that's oh, why when I was I shocked know. When you're but like, oh, you're funny. Just a baby. When I first started, I was like, whatever, you're my age. You're like, no, I'm not. And I was like, okay. You've always looked amazing, my dear. So Rihanna, I got involved. I still got involved through Scott, which was in college, but we weren't associated to the college. But did you have to sign up for like an internship with Sony? I don't remember how you got.
I was working at Warehouse Music at the time.
Oh, that's what it was.
With Dave Wilson.
I love that place.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, me too.
I loved it.
And Dave Wilson was my coworker, which, as you know, had your job before yep. Scott. And he told me about the opening. And so I applied for it and beat out a couple other people. And I was super stoked.
Yeah.
4 years later, it changed my life.
Oh, totally. I still remember when, well, because Scott had seen me all the concerts at Kilby Court. Scott was my predecessor. And he was like, one day he's like, I don't really want to go to this Bare Naked Ladies concert. Could you just cover it? And I was like, sure. You know, I was all bright eyed and bushy tailed. And it was actually a really good concert. It was they were really good live. I was like, this is going to suck. And then we got there. I was like, dude, they were so good. And then he went on to something else. And he told me, he's like, hey, by the way, I recommended you for the job. Whatevs. And I was really shocked when they called me. They're like, hey, we want to hire you. And I was like, no way.
So wait, when they say go cover a concert, what would that mean? What does that entail?
Do you want to start that?
Well, for me, so you kind of have to, well, at the show, I mean, there's always the pre-show events where you're putting posters up at the record shops or the skate shops or whatever to promote the show. And then the night of the show, we would go and hand out stickers beforehand, mm-hmm. flyers for maybe similar bands, and then we'd stay for the show. I always had to take pictures and write up reports to, you know, turn into my boss afterwards. But then we'd stay after the show, pass out more flyers, pass out more stickers, mm-hmm. and just talk to people, really, just hang out. So, I mean, it wasn't hard work, but for me, you know, I was working full-time and going to school.
Yeah.
Those are some long nights.
Yeah. And my job was basically the same thing. And because I had to do the reports too. It was kind of funny when I moved, I came across those reports and it was just making me giggle because I saw our pictures in there. It was so funny. But you know, it was great because they hoped that the college rep and the marketing rep worked together, but I don't think that happened in all markets. And we luckily created a partnership and a friendship and we had each other's back. So if one of us couldn't be there, then the other person was, which was awesome.
Yeah.
And then
and it was nice too for the Warped Tour, you know, we could just tag team that, and because that was just such a long day.
Yeah, and Warped Tour was crazy for us. So it went from you show up really early in the morning to get in line to you're going back in the press area and you're carrying in huge ass boxes of stuff you put together. We usually did little packets of a whole bunch of stickers and CDs and buttons, and then you just walk around with the box and tell people free shit, and then they would come get it.
And I was one of those people who would run over and grab all the free shit I could.
Yeah, and usually, from what I remember, we were usually done. We had most of the stuff handed out by, early on in the day. I don't remember having a lot of it later.
Yeah, and mostly because we didn't want to carry it around all day.
Oh, we didn't. We were please, God.
The sooner we could just go enjoy the show. But sometimes we would be able to go hang out with the band if they were doing a meet and greet or, they needed help with something. We were usually kind of their go-to person locally if they needed a ride somewhere or whatever. So that was kind of a fun perk too, is being able to kind of interact with them.
So that brings me as a, I'm just kind of a bystander sitting here listening to you guys.
Uh-huh.
And I am dying to know, you guys have got to have some stories. I mean, can you drop some names? Can you tell me some dirt? Can you give me something? Did any of these bands do something incredibly embarrassing? Or was anyone a super dick? Or was anyone super awesome?
Well, Rihanna's okay if I tell a quick story about Kill Radio. You were at that show, weren't you?
Oh, man.
Kill Radio and Acceptance. So Acceptance had come, and I'm sorry, dudes, you guys are really nice guys, but I'm going to call you out a little bit. They had come previously and they complained to us. It was at Lo-Fi and they said there was hardly anybody here. And I remember going up to him and saying, hey, if you want more people to come here, go talk to this kid because he is friends with basically 50 people, probably more. They'll tell their friends, they'll tell their friends, they'll tell their friends, and then they'll all show up. But if you're not going to spend any time interacting with them, they're not going to show up.
That seems like an incredibly, almost impossible job.
Why?
Because to be,
it
sounds like you're blamed if people don't show up, but it's not. What if they just don't have a draw in that market? What if the band just doesn't have, people just in that market just don't like them?
And that
then
happens.
You get blamed for it?
Yeah, well, they'd get frustrated
not
with us.
Blamed,
yeah,
they
get frustrated.
It's hard. That was really hard. And I hated sending in those reports where you're like,
there was five people. I handed out 10 stickers. And they're like, 10? And I stuck some to the walls. I just remember, so Acceptance, I told them that. They went outside, talked to a bunch of the kids that were always at the concerts. And the next show, and then we promoted them really, really hard because they were a good band. They were a really, really good band. At that time, they fit in with the demographic of the music that we were promoting that was really popular in Salt Lake. And so we got them talking to them. The next show, they came with Kill Radio, and Acceptance killed it. It was full. But I do remember Kill Radio. I was walking in with a box of stickers and stuff, and the singer came up and knocked the box out of my hands and just started swearing at me. And I was like, what's your problem, dude? And he was like, we can handle our own shit. And I was like, okay. And they were just very much prima donnas the whole time. Their drummer was super nice, but we did have some issues. I had issues with the singer. He had a lot of I'm a superstar attitude. But that was the only thing from that show I can think of. And we had to kind of talk him down, but.
Yeah, Vendetta Red treated me the same way. That was one of my very first. Vendetta Red, do you remember them?
I do. They were rude to you? I didn't hear this.
Oh, my very, the very first show I ever worked, I went up early at DV8 in the basement, and I was putting posters up, and they were they were taking them down as I was putting them up.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
And would they say?
I work for the label. I'm trying to do you a favor. And they thought that it was just, it made them look bad.
That's ridiculous.
So that was a little hard, because I was I'm just doing my job. And then I had to go tell my boss, well, here's what happened. And then I think they got like a talking to after.
Yeah, I do remember I talked to, you know, our bosses, Dave and Jack in New York about Kill Radio. And I think they did talk to them because they were nicer at Warped Tour when they came back a few months later.
I've never heard of that band.
There's a good reason why you didn't hear about that band. When you go in, anymore. Yeah, if you go in as a small band and you have a big attitude, it doesn't usually work out for you. And then Acceptance was really sad because they were so good live. They were one of my favorites on the label. And I remember I got to be good buds with their drummer and their singer. What did this? I remember we were sitting at Lo-Fi once and the singer walked by and Rihanna, you were like, oh, he's so hot. And the drummer goes, please, God, don't tell him. We can't deal with it anymore. Like, it was so funny. And we were just both dying. And he came back and he goes, what'd you guys say? And he was like, nothing, dude. They said nothing. And it was nothing.
Said you're so ugly funny. As shit.
So that's one of mine. What's one of yours? I told you earlier, like, think of one of your best stories.
Oh my gosh.
There's like a million.
I mean, it's been so long. Well, something that just popped into my head right before we got on the call is we were promoting a band. Their name was Elkland.
Oh, Elkland. I liked them. Yeah. They were at South by Southwest.
They opened up for Erasure, and I was so excited because I love Erasure.
I forgot about that.
And you were like, who's Erasure? And we had front row seats.
We had front row seats.
And I was just on cloud nine, and you were like, who are these guys?
I didn't know.
And then after the show, we went to Orbit and had dinner with them and just kind of partied with them a little bit.
We did. Oh, my God. I forgot. Okay. So I have to say, so Erasure was at, wasn't it at Kingsbury Hall?
It was at Kingsbury, yeah.
For people who don't know what that is, that's like where they have symphony and shit, right?
Yeah.
Is that the same place?
Yeah.
So okay. The most amazing part is... We're sitting in the front row, and the Erasure guy, did he come out in the gold thong, or did he get to the gold thong?
Probably. That sounds about right.
I remember a lot of glitter. I remember a gold thong, and I remember just sitting there with my, like, mouth dropped open, like, this is amazing.
And it was.
And then I remembered what all of the Erasure songs were, and I was like, duh, of course I know who Erasure is.
Yep. It was a fun night, but I think the story that I'm waiting for you to talk about, but I'm going to bring up anyway, Stinky Feet Girl.
Stinky Feet Girl! Okay, and I'm sorry if I don't think she'll ever listen to this, but if you do, I'm sorry, Sarah Hot Nights. Sarah Hot Nights was quite popular. So I would say there was a big separation between the college reps and the marketing reps. The best way I could describe it is the marketing reps were rough.
Wait, before you go on, I just want to make sure I understand. So was the college rep, which you did, Rihanna, was that kind of like the marketing rep, only you did it on colleges?
Well, so just correct me if I'm wrong. You were like the lifestyle rep. So really we had a lot of similar responsibilities. But
I had some different stuff.
Ones.
Yeah, because...
And I don't know if you... Did you get paid?
I got paid very little.
Yeah, I did too, but
I think we got paid about the same from what I recall.
Yeah. So my primary really, like, we both did, you know, the lifestyle accounts. We both all did, you know, the record stores, the skate shops, but yeah, my focus was, the college.
Yeah. So Rihanna was more focused on the college. I was more focused on the city,
like
I guess you would say.
So, okay. Yeah. When I went to the U a million years ago, they had that big billboard by Osh, and it was plastered with shit.
That was us.
That bulletin board. Is it stuff like that? You put stuff up there and go into the union?
Oh, yeah,
that was us.
Okay. I'd go up there on Sundays.
Yeah, me too.
It was like my one day off.
Yeah, and it was really funny.
Just cover the crap out of that thing.
And if I had any, I'd usually call Rihanna and be like, hey, what posters do you put up? And then if she hadn't put up one, I'd go put those up. And if you went to a concert at Lo-Fi, at Deviate, at In the Venue, Kilby, we were there handing out stickers. That was us.
Oh, yeah.
If you saw a two chicks with messenger bags, that was us.
And what year was this? What years are we talking about?
What was it, Rihanna?
Obviously before Deviate burned down.
Yeah, and then I graduated in 2001. I think I started maybe in 2000. No, I graduated in 2004. Sorry.
I started in 2003. Did we start there till the end of 2006.
Okay, so I started just before I graduated. Like, I got officially hired on after I graduated, so that was in 2004. And then I don't remember when I left.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... Keep going, sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, we would work on... They would have big college... contests certain artists if they wanted to really get the word out about them. And so Jess and I remember we teamed up for the Zootons.
Yeah, that was Hit the Brit.
We made magnets and we had stickers and we just put those. I mean, there was not a spot that wasn't covered with a sticker or a magnet about the Zootons.
Oh my God. And I think, wasn't the contest? We went and got like dollar store G.I. Joes and you had to chuck something at them. And if you knocked them all over, you could get something.
Oh my God.
It was Hit the Brit.
Yes.
Hit the Brit. Hit the Brit contest. Because we had the Zootons and then the Clash and then something else, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of stickers.
I think it was the Coral.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so I'm going back to Sarah Hot Nights.
Yes.
We totally got off track.
Yeah, my bad. That was my fault. 100%.
So one of the coolest things that we did was Acceptance was doing their album release in San Francisco and we got flown out for it. And, the crappiest thing about working for Sony is that you always got put like doubled up in rooms. I don't think the college reps had it as bad as the lifestyle reps, but when I went to South by Southwest, I was in the room with three girls, which meant I had to share a bed with Sarah Hot Nights, which was not fun. And the reason being, this woman had the stinkiest feet I have ever encountered in my life.
I have to Google this person.
I'm scared. I'm like, I don't want to be so mean to her, but she had very smelly feet and
she wore these terrible shoes and she wore tights.
She wore tights and terrible shoes.
Is it Sahara Hot Nights?
No, it's just, they called her Sarah Hot Nights. Oh, that's not her, her nickname. That's not her real name.
I thought she was somebody, that I could Google.
There was a reason why she was called Sarah Hot Nights, and that was because she was well known to get with the bands. And that was her forte. She was quite proud of that.
She gave him some hot nights.
She did give him but, you know, anybody who could get past the feet smell, God bless them, because Jesus, I couldn't have done it. And Rihanna is an angel because we go to the CD release party and it's really fun. It's in San Francisco. We had a freaking blast at the CD release. And Rihanna is like such a freaking amazing person. She even went up to my boss and told me what a great job I was doing because she's fabulous, and I've never forgotten that, Rihanna, by the way. And he even brought it up to me later. He's like, by the way, your counterpart told me how great you are. I'm like, ah, she's sweet. And then went back to the hotel room, and our hotel room stunk so bad that I was afraid I was going to be Elaine on Seinfeld where the smell would never come out. It was making my eyes water. Because of her feet. Her feet smelled so bad that I was like near tears. I was like, oh my God, because this was the second trip I was stuck with her and her feet. And so I called Rihanna and said, is there any way I could sleep on your floor? I can't be in this room. And the angel that she is, she let me come and sleep in her bed because she is amazing to save me from Sarah Hot Night's feet.
Like, I would say no.
Yeah, because that girl was South by Southwest. I couldn't go back to our room because she was having a lot of fun with the band. And all I know is I walked into a room of a lot of bare asses and I left. That's all I saw. And then I spent the
next two. What band?
I don't know.
You don't know? Or you're just not going to say?
Oh, it's in there somewhere, but I can't think
of
it.
Tip of your tongue.
I spent two nights in Austin, Texas, roaming the streets because I couldn't go back to my hotel room because Sarah Hot Nights was having a hot night. And then the worst part, oh my God. The worst part ever was the next morning when she's in the shower. I finally come back the next morning, like with no sleep. And she goes, hey, I took the soap out of your suitcase and I'm using it. And I was like,
Oh God.
It was like the worst thing. I just sat there. I was like, and I was just like, no. And so, yeah.
You're like, keep it. It's yours.
Yeah. So when Rihanna, when Rihanna was at any of our stuff, I was psyched because I knew I was going to have a fun time. And I always hung out with the college crew because the college people were nice. Like, they loved music. They were kind of clean cut. They were like,
well, I mean,
you're kind of like, The lifestyle reps were kind of the redheaded stepchildren.
They were. They were rough, man. All of them were rough.
Why do you think that is?
I would describe them as greasy hair, smoking, and angry. That's the only way I would.
Is there something? There's got to be something about the job, specifically.
Well, I do know that I was pressured on the lifestyle side to do some nefarious things. And I was the one person who didn't and created a reputation as a lifestyle rep for not doing those things. So I would say that maybe they recruited people who were willing to do a little bit more than the average bear, I would say, to make the artist happy.
I mean, were there any weird requests? I mean, I don't know how.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was asked to do some weird shit. And I usually said no, and I was usually in trouble. But I didn't really care because we were getting really good sales in our market, so it didn't really matter. So it didn't matter. But I was on one occasion told, get on the damn buses and do drugs, goddammit. And I said no. And then there was a lot of swearing, and then the phone was hung up on me. And but we sold well in the market, so they couldn't get rid of me because we were doing so well. And then I said I was going to prove a point that I wasn't going to be that way, and I did. But that also bit me in the ass later when it came to hiring someone for the New York office, and guess who got hired?
Not you.
Sarah Hot Nights got hired. And so.
Yeah, but she probably got laid off like 6 months
that's
later.
That's true, because they cut our entire section once iTunes came out, which is kind of aging us, but iTunes came out and that really affected the whole guerrilla marketing stuff.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know how I don't know the ins and outs of what you guys did, but I do know some people who were concert promoters and there were some weird ass requests that would be put in by these bands. They wanted an ounce of weed. They wanted certain amount of girls at the green room.
Yeah, I didn't ever get asked for that.
They wanted cocaine.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
So you guys never had any shit like that where you had to go scramble to find some substance thing?
No, I never got asked for that. I would say Rihanna and I were more like helpful. I do remember like at Lo-Fi, we got to know all of the people who were running the clubs or own the clubs really well.
Bucket?
Oh, God, Bucket.
Hold on. You can't drop something like that and not tell anybody what it is.
Rihanna, tell us about Bucket.
He was just not a very nice person.
I'm trying to remember, like, what were some of the things that he did?
Oh, he called us bitches. And I was like, oh, hell no. We are doing you a favor. You're going to treat us like that after. I mean, I'm sure we gave them so much free stuff.
We gave a lot of free stuff. But I do think that you and I had to develop a little bit of an attitude to get along with those guys.
Oh, totally.
Like
absolutely, we did.
Like, I was actually going to ask that. So Rihanna, did you have to develop any sort of personality traits that you may not have had before in order to succeed or even just survive in that business?
Yeah, you kind of have to put on a front, you know? I mean, if there's a lot of times where you don't like the music.
Yeah, you don't.
That would be my biggest hurdle.
And pretend that the show was amazing. And I'll never forget. Back then, we'd have to call this number after a show and leave like a message about how the show went. And I'm trying to remember the band, but I can't, it's not popping up right now. But I remember like distinctly saying that the show was better than I expected.
wait, was this a number that you'd have to call for like corporate or something like that?
Yeah, okay. It was like to our bosses or whatever. And so I called and left this message, and I probably had a drink or two. So I was, you know, a little inebriated. And so I'm leaving this message, and who knows how long it was, but I was like, yeah, the show's way better than I thought it was. And then like the next day my boss calls me and she's like, yeah, you shouldn't say that. Cause I'm sure those go to,
they get back to the band
or the managers or whoever.
Well, doesn't someone have
saying,
to,
oh, you know,
yeah,
that show was not as shitty as I thought it was.
Shouldn't someone tell these guys if they don't have the stage presence? I mean, it sounds to me like kind of what you're saying is once they get signed to the major label, then it's just like, just tell them whatever they want to hear.
I know.
Just give them what they want. Tell them what they want to hear. We're not going to give any criticism other than, you know, what the suits are telling them to do.
Maybe I had more of a sassy attitude because I remember criticizing people, but it was mostly the people who had really bad attitudes, because I do remember, like, if someone was ever snarky with me, I'd just be like, do you remember the Incubus signing when the drummer was being a total dick?
Oh, I don't remember that.
We did, because it was at the E Center. I don't know.
It was at the E Center.
I do remember that.
Yeah. Maverick Center. Yeah.
And I remember, like, we were so excited because confession time. I kept a picture of Brandon Boyd in my wallet. And when people say, who's your boyfriend, I would just show it to him. And it was my weird, like, it was a joke, but I was like, well, that would be awesome if he was. But then we met him, and it was the only time I ever blushed. Because he was like, because I remember, like, the drummer was being a dick to this girl. And I told him, I was like, hey, because the people had paid, hadn't they?
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those VIP, you pay extra money, yeah, get a signing or something like that.
And it was this, like, sweet little girl who's probably, like, 18. I don't know. She was just a youngin. And he was like, I'm missing Sparta for this. And I looked at him, and I, like, put my hand on the table, and I said, you're going to be on tour with Sparta for so and like such and such weeks. Get over it. And he was just, and I heard Brendan Boyd go, bring that girl over here. And I was like, oh, fuck. He was like, you're sassy. I like it. And I went, like, beyond bright red. And I was like, God damn it. But those guys were, I remember Brendan Boyd being so tiny that a breeze could, like, blow him away. And I kept asking him if he needed food. I was like, do you guys need, like, a sandwich or something? Yeah, and that was something, like, I think Rihanna and I more took care of people, if anything. Like, I remember at Lo-Fi, there was that little restaurant next door. What was it, Lo-Fi Cafe?
No, it was called the Spice Cafe. Or something.
Oh, I know exactly where you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And so, usually, like, if we had already been, like, busy or whatever, I remember going and saying, hey, we're going to go get food. Do you guys want to come, or do you want us to get you something? I remember we were more those people. We were like, hey, we're going to go get this. Do you want this?
You know what? That raises a good question. The last story. Rihanna, were you ever starstruck at any point?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Oh, man.
What about Our Lady Peace? What about Our Lady Peace? I thought you really loved that, dude.
That still sticks with me because I hurt your feelings that day.
I remember now. Oh, honey.
Yeah. The memories are flooding back.
Oh, honey, don't even worry about that anymore. Don't even worry about it.
Oh, I know, but I did. I hurt her feelings, and I didn't realize what I was doing until after it was said and done. But, that was a little bit.
Now you're going to have to tell the story. That was a Warped Tour.
Yeah, and for some reason.
We only got one pass, right?
We got a pass, and I just assumed it was me that would go and say hi to the band. And you looked at me like, what is wrong with you? They're like my favorite band in the whole world. And I just left you at the gate. And I'm like, see ya.
And then you came back. I was like, well, I handed out all the stickers. Damn it.
I'm going to go bye. See you later.
Yeah, but no, that water under the bridge. I'm sure there were times that I was a pain in the ass during all those things. We were so busy. How many concerts did we cover a week? We covered a lot.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It could 3 to 4. Well, maybe 2 to 3, 3 to 4. I don't know. I'd have to go back. And I think I still have some of my reports. I should do that and just go.
So you were going.
See what I was working on.
See, I anywhere. Think I covered more because I remember being at concerts 4 to 5. 4 to 5.
Well, let's say 2 to 5 concerts. Mm-hmm. Every week, plus you're working full time, mm-hmm. plus Rihanna, you're going to school.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to school.
It was hard, man.
Holy shit, dude.
We looked rough.
Because you know what? I'll tell you what, going to a concert like once every 3 weeks, mm-hmm. I'm done, dude. Like, it's
hard.
I'm a lot older really now. Hard. I used to be able to do it a lot harder, but I'm a lot older now.
It was a lot of work.
So, were there any times? I'm sure this is probably a very open ended question, but were there any times that you just hated being with the band you were with? Was there anyone you just were like, I just want to stab them in the eyeball?
What do you think, Rihanna? I've got an idea of one concert that I said I'd never go to again.
I do.
Okay, let's hear it.
For me, it was Lost Prophets. Like, do you remember that?
That's the pedophile, right?
It's the pedophile. Did I ever interface with them at all? Because I don't remember.
I mean, the singer just thought he was God.
Well, that's because he's a narcissist. He likes to diddle kids.
No, he has. Yeah, he's got issues. But yeah, I remember just being like, I do not. I don't want to be there. You know, and There were a couple of times, I mean, not necessarily I didn't like the band. I just had so much going on. It was like the last thing I wanted to do.
Yeah. Well, that was back in
homework.
Yeah. That was back in the day when people could smoke in the venues. So you'd come home just stinking so bad.
Yeah.
And it was late nights because if the band was like, hey, let's go get a drink, it was like, oh, because we had to. And there were times that it was like, I really don't want to be here. Like, I just want to go home. And so it just, I mean, towards the end there, I don't know how you felt about it, but I was beat. Like, I was tired.
Yeah, we'd get out of there as soon as we could, you know. It was definitely hard, but, you know, there's just still, like, there's some bands that I'm like, I still love and get excited about. It's like, it was so cool to be a part of that.
It was so cool.
Of their growth. And I feel like, you know, the proud mom, I was there when you started.
I know, I feel that way too. Was there a band that, like, what are some of the bands that you really connected with that you still listen to?
Like I said, Mew. I still really like them. Gosh, I'm trying to think, Modest Mouse.
Yeah, that was a crazy ass concert though. Do you remember that show? The crowd was much different than what I was expecting.
You know, I don't think I was there.
Do you know? Okay, so that show, Modest Mouse, it was at in the venue, and I was expecting it to be a whole bunch of high, happy people, right? And I was up in the 21. And
Modest Mouse?
Modest Mouse.
They're the ones with the record that's good news for people who love bad news.
Yeah, bad news.
And you expected happy people?
Oh, I thought they'd all be high because you walked in. It was just a cloud.
I honestly don't know anything about Modest Mouse other than the name of that record.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I know.
I go up to the 21 and over area. I swear you were with me. And I was sitting on the chairs that were these big metal chairs. And this guy comes up and he puts his hand on the back of my chair and is like screaming the song in my ear. And I was like, for the love of God, dude, like, there's this thing called personal space. Can you back up a bit? And he picked up my chair. So I, like, bounced, like, I hurried and, like, jumped to my feet because he picked up the chair and he threw it at me, hit me in the legs. And then all these people started fighting with him. And then there was a fight going on down the pit. And there was a fight over by the merchandise. There was so much fighting at that concert. I was like, what the fuck, Modest Mouse? Why are people so angry?
I would not expect that.
But the coolest thing about that show was they were really good and they had double drummers. From what I remember is that the concert, they had two drummers going at the show I was at.
That's bizarre.
It was awesome.
That's crazy.
It was really cool. And I, but other than that, because, you know, my legs kind of freaking hurt because that guy threw a goddamn chair at me.
Yeah.
But past that, it was a good show. It's just the crowd was really angry, which was really surprising to me. I did not expect an angry crowd at Modest Mouse.
No, and maybe crying in the corner, but not angry.
And then, Rihanna, were you at the Mudvayne concert? I swear you were at that one.
I was at the Mudvayne concert, and I think at the time I was dating a radio guy, and so we were at the bar with Mudvayne, and
What did you think of those guys?
What was that?
What did you think of those guys? Because I thought they were super nice.
I liked them.
Yeah.
They were super nice.
Like, their show terrified me.
I
was in the back going, what the fuck? Like, the makeup. I just remember standing in the back by the merch tables just going, dude, like, this is so crazy. Like, I just remember the show was really weird. There was a lot of makeup. There was a lot of lights. There was a lot of weird shit going on. And then afterward, they come out, and they had washed off all their makeup. And a guy came up to me, and he goes, are you our reps? And I was like, maybe. And he came up and gave me the biggest hug. And I just remember he was wearing a leather jacket and it smelled really good. Like, so I really love that dude. And he said, thank you so much. We have such good record sales in Salt Lake. Thank you for all your hard work. And he was just lovely. And I was not expecting that. Not at all. So I had like a soft. Yeah, that does not happen that often. So I had a soft spot in my heart for Mudvayne, even though their show totally terrifies me. But they are quite nice.
They're quite nice. Well, we've kept you on the phone for quite a long time, a lot longer than we originally
thought. We've got more stories. So I want you to go into the deep parts of your brain from 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago. And if you come up with any stories, I want you to write them down or do like little audio messages. And then we're going to have you on again. We'll have the Jesse and Rihanna revisiting. And we'll do that. So just plan on doing that because this is so much fun. And anytime I get with Rihanna, oh my gosh, the time I got to spend with you was the funnest. We had so much fun.
We did.
We really did.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
That Iron Maiden show, I've seen some clips of the stage stuff going on. It looks pretty incredible.
Will you tell us how it is, Rihanna? I gotta hear about it. Okay, good.
I'll give you a full recap.
Okay, so do they, the name, that character guy, their character, like Megadeth has their guy, the Misfits have their guy.
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask that.
Does he have a name?
Yes.
That's okay. You don't have to know. All I wanted to know is if he has a name, because I think the Megadeth guy has one. I don't know what it is. I've seen Megadeth.
Sure.
Oh. There is something I have to say. I'm sorry. I'm taking us off on a really quick tangent. Rihanna, did you ever do this? One of the most embarrassing things, and it happened repeatedly, is when a band would come up when we were promoting, and I did not know that that person was in the band.
Oh, yeah.
That happened a lot where they're like, well, shit.
I did that.
Oh, God. It happened to me so much. And the first time it happened, first couple times it happened, I was so embarrassed. And then eventually I was just like, well, I don't look at everyone's photos. Sorry, dude.
Eddie. It's Eddie. Sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt you. Eddie.
It's Eddie Rihanna.
Eddie, yes.
Eddie, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. I knew it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. I
have done that, though. I waited in line at the Warped Tour to get stuff signed by Anti-Flag.
Uh-huh.
And I fucking got up there, and I knew three of the members, and then there was the other guy, and I'm like, is he in the band? It's going to be really weird if I go up and be like, I love the new record, but you're not in the band. But at the same time, he's looking around like, he's talking to me.
Is it bad if I tell one more story? Because if I don't, I'll forget it. Okay. So remember Yellow Card way back in the day when they were just babies?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so they were just babies and they were opening for... Oh, shit. What is that band's name? Oh, crap.
The Ataris?
It's something close to that.
The Ataris?
It's not the Ataris. But it was... So I went back because I liked... It was the...
Oh, it was Something Corporate.
Something Corporate.
Yeah, with the piano.
Well, it's Something Corporate and there was another opener... And so there was two openers. It was Yellow Card and there was another band. And I can't think of their name. But so all the guys in the band have blonde hair, right? Not confusing at all. They were all youngins. And it was Yellow Card's first record. So I bought their record. And then I was walking around and I ran into this guy with blonde hair. And I was like, hey, will you sign my record? And he signed it and he handed it back to me and it said, I'm not in this band, but I'll sign it anyway. And then they came back and he remembered me. He goes, hey, it's the Confused Girl. And I was like, shut up. It was so embarrassing, but kind of awesome that he remembered me, but still.
I think everyone's had some sort of embarrassing thing.
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But okay. Seriously, thank you.
Thank you so much,
We kept
Rihanna.
You on the phone like 20 minutes longer than we expected.
We totally did, but it was so much fun.
Have fun at Iron Maiden. Have fun with your family.
Yes, please let us know how it goes.
And as soon as we get the studio figured out, then we'll have you actually in studio. And you guys can geek out and have fun. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, guys.
Was that fun to talk to your friend?
Yeah.
That was fun?
It was really fun. It was lovely. It was nice to revisit and think back on a lot of memories that I never... Well, I've not remembered, so having them be brought back up was awesome. And we spent so much time together. It was just nice to see and chat. That's why I'm like looking forward to her being on the show more.
I know. I'm looking forward to hearing more stories.
I know. Well, we'll have to see what we can actually remember. It's been a while. I'm getting kind of old.
Well, at least you haven't killed as many brain cells as I have.
No, I got hit in the head a lot.
Well, that's not even a fun way to kill brain cells.
I know, stupid skateboard.
So, not to be a downer, but I think this is probably a good thing, especially with, you know, the whole Linkin Park guy. I mean, the whole thing is just sad. Another suicide, unfortunately, of a rock star in a very horrific way.
We're seeing too many of these. Too
and the
many.
Way it's done is just... terrible and
it is. Heartbreaking.
It is very heartbreaking. So I think it's pretty poignant to be able to read this letter that Stone Gossard wrote to Chris Cornell.
Mm-hmm. On his birthday. All right, you guys. So I'm reading this directly off of the Pearl Jam Facebook page. So this is from Stone Gossard to Chris Cornell. I keep waking up in the middle of the night and remember, fresh again, that you're gone. An absence grows in my stomach and slowly turns circles like a far-off galaxy on a grainy TV. The same questions follow in my heart races, searching for reasons and what ifs. I'm so selfishly sad that I'll never get to see you again. never play with you again, never fill the basket of your approval or be part of your life. Fuck. We all miss you so much. It was always a given to in my mind that we would spend more time together when we got older. We would play more music and love and be loved like we dreamed. This was your time and you shared it with us. Thank you. You were too much. Your talent was jaw-dropping. Your songs, lyrics, your voice. How could you have all three? And then, the not so obvious, your wicked sense of humor and your playfulness. All of us are heartsick and we will never get over losing you. We hope you're in peace and that your particles are mutating and transforming in harmony with nature. We wish your family our utmost condolences and sympathies. We love you, Chris. Happy birthday.
Sad.
I think, you know, the hardest part about all of this is that I think we've all been touched by suicide in some way. I think we either know of someone, like even celebrities, or have had someone close to us, like me, have had suicides in our lives. And it's a heartbreaking, heart-wrenching thing.
It's just to lose anybody is, you don't get past it.
You don't.
And like I lost my very best friend in the whole world. He was a brother to me. I mean, I've known him since we were in first grade. We were best friends and died very suddenly. And it's been 11 years. Mm-hmm. And it never, ever goes away.
It doesn't.
It gets easier, but it doesn't ever go away.
Yeah.
And there are times when it will sneak up on you and hit you. And this is very fresh for everybody, the Chris Cornell thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously they were very close.
They were very close.
And it's very sad to see anybody have to deal with that kind of pain, because I think a lot of people have lost. Everyone's been touched by loss at some point, and it's horrible.
And as someone who lost one of my best friends to suicide about 3 years ago, please reach out to your resources. Please do whatever you can. If you know someone who's struggling, please, you know, do whatever you can to get them help, because a life without those people that we love so much is so much harder than helping them find a happy spot or just some help. You know, really, it comes down to finding help.
Very well said. Let's, you know, we didn't want to leave on a downer. So you did put the question out there.
I did.
To the listeners about what was the question?
So I put this up on my personal Facebook page and I love it because people were responding and I was like, yay! So the question was, tell me about the most amazing concert you have ever gone to. I got to hear the story. So first and foremost, our own Chris Hollyfield from the I Am Salt Lake podcast wrote to us and said, Primus played the fairgrounds and it was sold out. About 50 of us bum rushed the security and ran into the concert. It made for a pretty amazing concert. I think I remember this because I think we were all trying to go to the concert. Was it high school days?
I don't know. I've never seen Primus.
I remember
being at a Metallica show, though, and my buddy, he was like the biggest Metallica fan in the world.
Uh-huh.
And so he was part of the fan club, and he got the VIP seats and all this shit. And we were in general GA, and it was way better.
Yeah.
Because it was right in front of the stage, whereas it's not like USANA where the seats are up front. Seats are all at the sides and in the back.
Yeah.
And by the end of the show, everyone was just bum rushing security and just jumping into GA.
Oh my God.
And the same thing happened when I saw The Offspring a million years ago, too.
Yeah.
And I get that. Like, that's the only way to see a show.
It is.
I don't get the whole sitting down thing.
Well, I'm getting old. Sometimes I get tired.
To me, that's part of the fun is getting in the crowd and sweating and singing.
Well, I think it depends on the concert because
Definitely.
I hate to say this because I love this band. Pinback played the Depot, and it was so boring. I just wish I had a chair.
That's how it was for Pennywise too.
Oh,
it's so boring.
I was so tired. I was like, my feet hurt and I'm old. Yeah. I can't do this. It's in the middle of the week. Okay, so. that was from Chris, and then my cute mom.
By the way, check out I Am Salt Lake. We actually were just on that show.
We were. It was
and
so much fun.
I don't know when this episode will... So I think this weekend is when it'll be out.
Yeah, so check us out on I Am Salt Lake.
Go over to IamSaltLake.com, and you can check it out.
And check out their past episodes. They do an amazing job and are very much in the scene and doing a lot of amazing things.
Yeah,
so
Chris and Chrissy.
Out.
I mean, if you are a local, Chris and Chrissy... They do, I mean, they're doing a service to this,
they create,
this community.
They're creating the community.
I'll tell you what, because Utah is great. I've always thought it's great, and it gets a really bad rap, and I think it's bullshit. And I think the more awareness we can bring to people out there,
yes.
Understand it's not just
so many more. more of
boring,
us are here.
Yes.
We're doing a lot of cool things. And like, shout out to Chris, because he's always so psyched about Salt Lake. And they're just awesome, and we adore them. Yeah. So we were really psyched to be on the show. I'm still geeking out over it.
I know. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Okay, so the next person who responded was my cute mom. And she said she went to the final performance of Diana Ross and the Supremes on their farewell tour.
Holy shit.
At the Bushnell in Hartford, Connecticut in 1969. It was her first concert. How cute is that?
And the final performance?
It was the final performance. How cool is my mom?
That is pretty. That's a story. That's like.
We're going to have to interview her about that. I got to hear more about it. And my mom is the one who brought Motown into my life. So thank you, Mom. I love you very much, because that made my life so much better. And then my awesome friend Jay, he has a couple of them. I'm going to read all of these because they're all great. Okay, way too many to sort through, but a few off the top of my head from the heyday. Number one, Taking Back Sunday, Brand New, and Rufio at Suite 13 in Linden, Utah in 2002, mostly because of the shitty venue and what those bands became and meant to me afterwards. For sure. Brand
Rufio
New.
Rufio was pretty good, if Rufio. I remember right. Yeah. From Hook, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, Brand New, I just like totally got into that.
Well, no, because every time I hear that name, that's exactly
what happens.
Rufio. Yeah, every time. That's what I mean.
And those, they were really fun to go see. I saw them a couple of times. And Brand New, like, was, I still love Brand New. I think Brand New's gotten too much of an attitude. The early days, they were super fun to go see. Okay, so number two, The Living End at DV8 in 2001.
Oh, I would have killed to see that.
First time I saw a stand-up bass player climb all over his instrument like that. So Jay is a bass player.
Oh, is he?
Well, he's a multiple musician, but bass is, I think.
Well, you know what? He would like Skinny Lister, because the bassist for Skinny Lister plays a stand-up bass.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl, I don't think she's the main vocalist, but mm-hmm. I think she's a backup. But she climbs all over that thing.
Oh, my God, Jay.
It.
I hope you're listening,
Skinny
and I know
Lister.
You are. Skinny yeah. Lister, check him out. Okay, number three, the Ataris at the Cotton Club in Atlanta, Georgia in 2002. Chris Rowe threw a guitar into the crowd, and it was ripped to shreds. Awesome! I got a piece of the fretboard from my little brother. Okay, number four, anytime RX Bandits were in town. Oh my God, I knew this about you, Jay. Anytime RX Bandits, I knew you'd be at that show. Number five, Foo Fighters opening for the Red Hot Chili Peppers in 1999 and stealing the show.
That would have been a really good show.
First time I ever saw an opening act performance destroy the headliner. Yeah. And then he's got some framed concert tickets, which I don't know if you have it, but you've seen it in my apartment. I've got my concert.
You know what? Over the years, I collected so many concert tickets, and then I moved out of my parents' house and went on to college, and I don't know where any of them went. And I tried to keep them ever since then, but man, I was just a drunk college kid.
Only the ones that are at my apartment are the ones that since I've moved back to Salt Lake in the last 5 years.
Well, we can't do it anymore.
I know, they don't give tickets
anymore. It's all on the phone.
I know, they don't give tickets. That's one thing that just totally breaks my heart. I like when I get a ticket.
I know, me too.
Okay, so our own Adam Daly, who was just recently on the show, Jimmy World in Park City with the Most Amazing Friends. We love you too, buddy. That was a fun
that's
show.
That's right, that was a really fun show.
We had so much fun. So Adam and his cute wife, Jane Ann, saved a spot for us at the very front of the venue, in Park City. What's it called again?
Park City Live.
Park City
Used
Live.
Used to be Harry's.
Yeah. And like the sad part was Alan like sneaks off to get a drink and then these jerks wouldn't let him back in.
Whatever. They just had attitudes.
I know. So he was funny. He sent me a text. He's like, I'm going to go drink some more.
I just went and drank a bunch of whiskey.
I know. I could have, Adam and I could have reached out and touched the lead singer's foot, which I thought about it, but then I didn't want to be that much of a creeper. But no, that was a really fun
I think
show.
Adam could have got away with it because he really is a super fan of
he
that
is,
band.
He was so happy the whole time. Yeah. Oh, it just melted.
You know what?
Heart.
I will say this about him. And I wish I would have mentioned this to him when we interviewed him last week. I've never seen anyone look so genuinely happy at a show consistent the whole way through.
I know. He's so happy.
Like, it's just, he's just so happy to be there.
Oh, Adam, I hope you're listening. We thought it was so great. So, yeah, that was an awesome show. Yeah. We loved it. Okay, so then Aaron said, Nine Inch Nails, Energy Solutions, GA, 5 feet from center stage. And my friend Tanner piped in and said, hell yeah, that was a great concert. I was there too. Sweet.
Nice.
I love it. We've got mutual people at these shows. And then we just got a brand new one from our good friend Ellie. I went to Madonna in San Diego. It was on election night when Obama ran against McCain. We found out that Obama won during the concert. She had a huge rerun in her screen with the Hope picture of Obama. There was so much love in the arena. She told everyone to move forward and the security to leave us alone. We got to move up and make We got to move up to make us about 10 feet from her. It was one of the most amazing moments of my life.
That's so cool.
Awesome.
That is so cool.
You guys, we love these stories. Thank you so much for sharing them.
Obviously, ours are not going to be, we're not going to say them.
No, because we...
Because we talked about it.
We talked about it on the I Am Salt Lake podcast.
This is what we call a cross-promotion?
A teaser.
In the biz. This is what we call a teaser.
In the biz.
So basically, if you want to hear what our stories are, you have to go over to iamsaltlake.com or check them out on iTunes.
Listen to it.
I would imagine they're on Google Play, too, and we talk about that.
We talk about it so you can hear about our favorite concert.
And we also talk about this show.
Yes.
How we met.
Yes.
Which was all through podcasting.
Absolutely.
And a hell of a lot more shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I'm going to be throwing more questions out to the community. And I love when you guys answer. So I'm going to be thinking of some good ones. And if you have any good ones that you would like me to ask, send them to me.
Yeah. Definitely do it.
Yeah. So thank you so much to everybody who contributed. That just made my whole day.
That was a lot, too. That was a lot.
That's it was good. Really
and funny. The thing is, you're going to be getting more, too, over the next few days.
I know. So as we get more, we'll read them out.
We'll have to archive them and read them out.
Abso-freaking-lutely. I got to share
mine was
all
pretty
these.
Epic, too. I love mine. And it was good.
Yours was epic. So listen to I Am Salt Lake Podcast.
Yeah, listen to I Am Salt Lake Podcast. IamSaltLake.com. Okay, that's going to do it for episode 7 of Talk Music to Me. We will be back next week. We have a great interview next week.
Amazing guest. So excited.
David Provenzano.
From Margo Polo.
Fialta.
And Sherwood.
Dude's been everywhere. He's played in every goddamn band ever made.
Pretty much. He's awesome.
That was a lot of fun talking to him.
So much fun.
You have been friends with him for a long time.
Yeah.
Check it out. He gives us some insight into being a musician. Into what it's like. He's one of his bands. He's in with his wife.
Yep.
And his best friends. And so it's a really great interview. So come back next week.
We'll see you guys next week.
No one in this country can ever pronounce my name right. It's not that hard. Naina Najad.
Yeah, well, at least your name isn't Michael Bolton.
You know, there's nothing wrong with that name.
There was nothing wrong with it until I was about 12 years old and that no talent ass clown became famous and started winning Grammys.
Well, why don't you just go by Mike instead of Michael?
No way. Why should I change? He's the one who sucks.
Let's see. You are Michael Bolton?
Yeah.
Is that your real name? Are you any relation to the pop singer?
No, it's just a coincidence.
I'll be honest with you. I love his music. I do. I'm a Michael Bolton fan. For my money, I don't know if it gets any better than when he sings When a Man Loves a Woman.
But you must really love his music, huh?
Yeah, he's pretty good, I guess.
You're goddamn right he is.
Right.
So tell me, what's your favorite song of his?
I don't know. I guess I sort of like them all.
So Ryan, I'm the exact same way, but it must be twice as hard for you being have the same name as him. I celebrate the guy's entire catalog. Anyway, let's get down to business, Michael.
You know, you can just call me Mike.
Studio B Productions.